I watched a trailer last night of this movie Morphe, and I'm not quite sure whether it's made it to the country yet, but it taps into all sorts of things that we knew about the apartheid government in a cursory fashion, right? So we had a fairly good idea about the working, the inner workings of the SADF, but you know, for a time we were not really given the space to explore those ideas and what really went on in there, and how many boys who nurtured this dream of either going there, being conscripted because they thought they were doing the right thing by fighting for their country and protecting white citizens in the country, as well as those who were forced into going and went against their will, how exactly they were treated when they were in there, and what sort of spectres they faced as they entered the SADF. So this movie is set in 1981, all right, and this is the plot. A 16-year-old about to leave for his 2 years of conscription into the South African Army, because of course it's military for young, it's mandatory for young white men to participate against in this war against the liberation forces on the borders. And so this character Nicholas has to enlist to fight what is perceived as the communist threat at the Angolan border. But of course Nicholas is gay, and that skews quite a few things in itself, because we're talking about a very conservative government and a very conservative army operating in this conservative apartheid environment. Teresa Ryan van Graan is the co-producer of Morphe and joins us now. Teresa, so much is being said about this film, and it's sensitive but also hard-hitting approach to this topic. Tell me, first of all, where the idea originated from.
Hi, thank you so much for having me online. This film is loosely based on the memoir of a book of the same name by the author André Carl van der Merwe. And our English producers and Oliver Hermanus, our director, took that and then from there expanded, you know, into what is now the screenplay and now the film.
Right. And tell me exactly how it deals with this issue of a young white boy realizing he is homosexual in the context of quite an environment that embraces a good deal of toxic masculinity as well as homophobia.
Well, you know, the film followed him and...
Teresa, have we lost our line to you? It appears we
have. No, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Here. All right, great. Now, I thought we'd lost you for a moment. Please continue.
The story follows not only Nicholas, but follows a variety of different boys, you know, and their trip going into the, being conscripted into the army. So it's not necessarily just about him, you know, in his discovery of his sexuality. It's all of these boys that we follow, and we pose the questions about, you know, sending off these 17-year-old boys to go off and fight for their country.
It's difficult subject matter for all sorts of reasons. I mean, I imagine that many black South Africans might approach a film like this with the mindset that, well, these are boys who fought against people who are genuinely fighting for the freedom of the country at this time. How should we read that?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, our look into the slice of history is basically a comment that apartheid actually... reached everybody. Everybody suffered under it. And there's a collective trauma that we're still dealing with, you know, no matter what race we are in South Africa from the time of apartheid. And that's really what we're unpacking because, you know, obviously at the time, the apartheid itself was, you know, and has subsequently been the, you know, the most spoken about part of that time of history. But there was a generation of young men who've never spoken up about their experiences. No one's ever, you know, spoken about what happened, what they had to go through. And we're wanting to open up that conversation and start speaking about it so that we can try and heal some of the trauma that is still around.
Yes, of course. I mean, it sounds like you've dealt with racism quite candidly in the film.
Well, you know, it's... One couldn't get around it because it was such a strong, you know, theme at the time, obviously. So I think we've shown it for what it is.
And give me a sense of this. I mean, the Daily Maverick, there was such a well-written review of the film in the Daily Maverick. It's described as a superior film with striking cinematography, emphasizing the bleakness of the surroundings and a punching, unnerving score that points to the conflict and anxiety of the characters. So tell me how you went about creating that that atmospheric type of setting.
Well, certainly, you know, our director of photography, who has worked with Oliver before on various projects, brought a lot of his ideas and mood to the film. Both he and Oliver also, you know, discussed how they were going to represent the time, the period of the film cinematically. And on, one of the things they decided to do was to base the look of the film on, you know, the, at the time, the Kodak photographs, those kind of, you know, with a bit of a ready, ruddy touch to them.
Yes.
So it's very much based on that, you know, old photographs that one would find of that period. And then in terms of the score, Brian Toy and Oliver worked closely in terms of really wanting to find something that would be emotive and would bring out, you know, all of the kind of emotions that these boys would feel. And it is unsettling because I think what we are dealing with is unsettling subject matter as well. So, you know, it's about not feeling comfortable in terms of what's being portrayed.
You know, I was going to ask you about exactly that, the process of casting, because the subject matter is just so heavy, it's so tough, and you've had to cast very young people in these roles.
We have. The casting process was a two-year process. And we didn't just, you know, go the usual route of going to casting agencies. Oliver and the casting director, Jackie Chaiman, really, you know, dug deep in terms of going to schools, putting Facebook ads out there. So it was a very long, involved process for us to actually find the faces that are finally in the film. A number of the boys had to audition a couple of times for various roles. And as you say, as part of our core group, we actually had some very young guys in the film. Two of them that actually, when they started auditioning, were 16 years old.
Wow.
And when we finished the film last year, they were 17. They were writing them a trick.
Unbelievable.
Both of them have passed and are studying. studying this year.
Yes.
But yes, they were young. And it's incredible new talent that is in this film.
How do you, when you are dealing with such mature content, and what is possibly the first acting gig, the first major acting gig of their lives that these young people will have, how do you mold them for what they're expected to give in terms of the performances?
Well, I think it's not a case of molding them really, but it's about discussions. And you know, Oliver spent we had a very intense rehearsal period before we started the film. As well as we actually put them through a boot camp so that they could actually really feel what happened, you know, at the time. They could experience all the kind of nuances of being in the army. But Oliver also spent time during this period having lots of discussions with them. We've all spoken at length about how, you know, these guys have felt, what was going on in the world. They were all given a lot of reference material in terms of, you know, who the president was at the time, who Annalyn Creel was, that kind of thing. So
right.
We didn't really try to mold them as much as have these discussions so that they could start to understand the world at that time. And it's been a very informative journey for them because a lot of their parents, their fathers, were actually in the army and had never spoken to them about it up until now. And now these discussions have actually opened up. And that's what we're looking for. This film is about opening up those discussions. And so that's what has been incredible for them as a journey, speaking to their fathers finally opening up and telling them about what it was like.
I'm so intrigued, in fact, to hear what sort of accounts they receive after all these years from their fathers. But tell me, how has the film been received overseas?
Internationally, we've had an absolutely wonderful response. We had our world premiere at the Venice Film Festival last year in September, and subsequently we've toured to a number of major centres with the film, and we are still being invited to a number more. So internationally, it's been absolutely incredible, and we've been blown away by, you know, the reviews coming in from the likes of Variety magazine, The Guardian, Hollywood Reporter, and it's been very well received. Of course, you know, the major challenge for us, and also the major privilege for us, is to be bringing this film to South Africa. Absolutely. And opening nationwide tonight in cinemas, today in cinemas.
Fantastic. Well, we are really looking forward to watching the film. And Teresa, thank you so much for sharing all of this with us, the background to casting this film, putting it together, preparing the cast for what lay ahead. It really sounds like a fantastic piece of work based on what I've seen, certainly in the trailer. It really looks like something that shouldn't be missed. Teresa Rein van Graan is the co-producer of Mofi. Look out for that. It is going to open in South African cinemas this evening. And you know the usual story, guys, with the local films. They don't do well, but if you have decided that you are going to brave the cinemas this evening, and you can, you've got the spine for something that does explore some slightly heavy subject matter, give it a go. It is called Mofi.